There's something you should know about the wife of the Holy Prophet, Aisha. According to numerous ahadith, the Holy Prophet married Aisha when she was 9 years old and he was in his 50s. But was she really 9? Or was she in fact much older? They will do anything to try to attack Islam and our beloved Prophet. But particularly, the idea of the Holy Prophet as a pedophile is actually something quite modern. That's because a 9-year-old woman would not have been considered a child as she is seen today. The problem is people try to view a 1400-year-old historical context through a modern lens, without recognizing that historically the average life expectancy did not exceed 50 years old. People got married much, much earlier than they do today, and this was perfectly normal. According to apocryphal accounts, how old was Mary, the mother of Jesus? 12 to 14. In fact, 5 centuries after the Holy Prophet's marriage to Aisha, 33-year-old King John of England married 12-year-old Isabella. Margaret Beaufort gave birth to Henry Tudor when she was 13 years old. In 1476, Joan of France, Duchess of Berry, was betrothed in a wedding contract at 8 days old and was officially married at the age of 12. In 1477, Anne de Mowbray, the 8th Countess of Norfolk, was age 6 when she got married and she died at the age of 10. Rukhmabai was married in India to her husband when she was 11, and then the Age of Consent Act in 1891 increased the age of consent for girls in India from 10 to 12. Even as late as 1869, a young Mohandas Gandhi married his 14-year-old wife. It was also the popular norm, as can be seen in the plays, poetry and prose, i.e. the media of the time, like in Romeo and Juliet. Juliet was 13 in a play written only in the 16th century. This was perfectly normal. You don't see people bashing historical leaders and figures of the Far East or the Far West. No, it's all about Islam. Now, today, if a woman is 40 years old, she's good to go. She might even live to see 80. But back then, a 40-year-old woman would be a grandmother like,
"Hello, I'm 40 years old."
The average life expectancy for a male child born in the UK between 1276 and 1300 was 31.3 years. So if you lived to see 30, you'd be like,
"Back in my day,
we didn't just sit around watching biscuit videos."
You'd be married with kids, maybe even grandkids at tops by 20 to 30 years old. And your wife would have to be significantly younger than you, because women go through menopause and lose their reproductive abilities later on in their lifespan. Today, to be 45 to 65 means to be middle-aged. But back in the Middle Ages, you'd be middle-aged at 20. Things changed over time, and today, the life expectancy globally is around 71 years. It's widely seen that after 18 years old, anyone can get married. But even today, many nations across the globe vary in their age of consent and marriage laws, and people can marry even younger than 18. In some states in America, for example, applicants who are younger than the age of 16 can get married. In Arizona and Colorado, a girl below the age of 16 can get married with a court order and parental consent. Marriages of women below the age of 16 take place in America and across the world even today. In today's world, people generally get married later. But we can't just turn around and say marrying young, something which is being practiced for like forever, is wrong. If tomorrow famine, disease, and poor health generally grows and life expectancy again decreases, if you don't get married young, you just won't get married. The human species will cease to exist. That's why Islam, a religion which has come for all places, all cultures, and all times, has set the specific boundaries. After puberty, 15 for men and 9 for women, it is encouraged to marry, taking into consideration the context and the time in which you live. Simple. Okay.
Well then, what's this I hear you say?
Hadith. The Prophet wrote the marriage contract with Aisha while she was 6 and consummated his marriage with her when she was 9 years old.
Okay.
Hadith. It was narrated from Aisha that the Prophet married her when she was 7, and she was taken to him as a bride when she was 9 years old, and she took her dolls with her?
Dolls?
There is also another hadith which states that Aisha was playing on a swing at the time when her mother took her away from her playmates and married her to the Holy Prophet.
Wait, hold, what?
A lot of Islamophobes have found these ahadith in our books and use them as pillars on which to build a slur campaign attacking the Holy Prophet. Creating cartoons, movies, documentaries, jumping onto social media, making YouTube videos, all to attack Islam. It's these ahadith which cause a stir, understandably, as they don't just depict a young woman, but rather a young girl with the maturity of a child. But what they don't understand is that these very pillars on which they've built their entire campaign are weak. The basis of Islamic principles and thought are derived from the Quran and the ahadith, which can loosely be defined as reports from various personalities describing the words, actions, or habits of the Holy Prophet. But while the Quran is the perfect, flawless flawless, unaltered word of God, no other book is. For a lot of people, when they stumble across such a hadith, it shocks them. But for one who actually studies the ahadith books, it's not a shock. There's a lot of weird things in these books, just like any religious text which has been molded and altered throughout time. You see, after the Holy Prophet passed away, people started to take advantage of the turbulent political climate, creating a hadith out of thin air. There were hypocrites, liars, and enemies of Islam who wanted to distort the message of the Holy Prophet in order to benefit themselves. And there were others who were genuine in their intentions, but they made mistakes or suffered from weak memories. In any case, you'd get people coming out and saying all sorts of weird and wonderful things about the Holy Prophet. If an onion seller wanted to increase his sales in the market, he'd declare, "I heard the Holy Prophet say that eating onions is the path to paradise." If a tyrannical ruler wanted to justify his rule, he'd declare, "I've heard the Holy Prophet say that I'm a pious man." If somebody wanted to slur the personality of the Holy Prophet, they'd say, "I saw the Holy Prophet committing a sin." And all of these things, hundreds of thousands of ahadith, made their way into the ahadith books. Some of them were truly from the Holy Prophet, and some of them were falsely attributed to him. As a result, books of ahadith, whether Bukhari, Muslim, Kafi, or Bihar al-Anwar, while containing great wisdoms and truths, are also full of falsified, fabricated, and weak ahadith. And so Islamic jurisprudents and scholars derived a methodology to decipher which of the ahadith are true and which of them are false. Firstly, there are many ahadith which contradict the Quran. It is unanimous amongst Muslims that if any hadith contradicts the Quran, such a hadith ought to be totally disregarded, since the Quran is the only perfect divine book. Secondly, if there are many strong ahadith or historical references contradicting a particular hadith, this hadith is considered to be da'if or weak. Thirdly, any given hadith has a chain of narrators. For example, hadith X was reported by person A, who reported from person B, who reported from person C, who heard it from the Holy Prophet. If all the links in the chain are strong, the hadith is considered sahih or correct. But if any link in the chain is weak, for example, if person A, B, and C are reliable, but person D, damn it, turns out to be a liar, has a political bias, suffers from insanity, or anything else that makes him unreliable, then the hadith is considered as da'if, weak. Many ahadith are in fact da'if. Certified Islamic scholars and mujtahids study these chains in great detail, dedicating their entire lives to the research known as ilmi rijal, or the knowledge of personality. Such scholars scour the religious texts for years and years before coming to any conclusions about any given hadith. And then there's the Islamophobe, who in his blissful ignorance googles a particular hadith about Aisha, the wife of the Holy Prophet, which fits in his agenda of slurring the noble faith of Islam, and waves it in your face saying, "Aha, see, it's right there in your book." Yes, clap clap. The Holy Quran states, "If an evildoer comes to you with a report, look carefully into it, lest you harm a people in ignorance." So how about these ahadith about Aisha? When the Holy Prophet married her, was she really 6 years old? Or is this as reliable as an old wives' tale? Was she really playing with dolls? Or have these depictions of the Holy Prophet just been dolled up? Was she really playing on the swings? Or have the Islamophobes swung for the fences and missed? In fact, there are strong historical and hadith evidences which prove that Aisha was no way this young, and that these ahadith are totally, utterly false. Argument 1. The birth date of Aisha. We know historically that the Holy Prophet married Aisha in the second year after Hijrah. According to popular historical opinion, Aisha was born 8 years before Hijrah. But if that's true, then she'd be 10 when she marries the Holy Prophet. Not 6, not 9. Argument 2. The disparity of a hadith concerning Aisha's age. Ibn Hisham wrote in his biography of the Holy Prophet that she may have been 10 years old at the time of consummation. But then Ibn Khalikana, as well as Ibn Sa'ad of Baghdad, citing Hisham ibn Urwa, record that she was 9 years old at the marriage and 12 at consummation. Furthermore, there are others like Muhammad Arab Shahi who yet come and say that she was in her late teens. But why is there such disparity? You see, the recording of Aisha's age by Ibn Sa'd and Bukhari came a couple of centuries after the Holy Prophet passed away, which is why you get so many contradictory reports going from this way, that way, and all over the place. Now, is this itself reliable? These two arguments already give us reasons to doubt the ahadith that say she was 6 or 9. With all these variations about Aisha's age, we have got to search for more concrete evidence. And by far, the strongest evidence to support that Aisha was much older is Argument 3. Aisha's sister. There is a far more detailed biography of the sister of Aisha, Asma. It details how Asma was born 27 years before Hijra, and that she was precisely 10 years older than Aisha. This means that Aisha was 17 in the year of Hijra. If she got married 2 years after, that would make her 19 when she married the Holy Prophet. Furthermore, using Asma's biography, we can calculate precisely from her age at the time of her death that Asma was indeed 27 in the year of Hijra. This again confirms that Aisha was in fact in her late teens. While the exact age of Aisha may be up for debate, these are empirical evidences irrefutably proving that Aisha was no way as young as has been suggested. It is absolutely clear that these ahadith which say that Aisha was playing with dolls or she was on the swings are absolutely and utterly false. 19-year-olds don't play with dolls. To conclude, women have been marrying much earlier than they do today. One cannot simply judge a historical context through a modern lens. If Islamophobes want to attack the Holy Prophet, they should at least get their facts right. Maybe you should try and study Islam genuinely, maybe even become a mujtahid. But if you don't want to do that, then at least learn these two words.
Shut up.
May Allah bless all of those people who don't have a bias and still have an open mind. Don't forget to share this video. You never know who might see the light.